Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope everybody is fine. I am on medication. I never knew malaria symptoms could be so excruciating. But thanks be to God that I'm fine and we can talk to each other today. Over the past 2 weeks, we have been preaching on the theme, Winning the Battle of the Challenges of Youthfulness. And on this topic, we've been looking at winning the battle of the abuse of seeking more knowledge and
power.
And this was presented by our brother Bismarck, who is doing the interpretation with me here today. He sought to draw our attention to all the resources provided by God to make us knowledgeable. And at the same time, reminding us of the likelihood of abuse of such knowledge and power. We were also privileged to share in the experiences of Professor Atulik and Mr. Alfred Baku. And just last week, we also looked at winning the battle against work and wealth. And over here, our brother Prince Pudalo spoke to us about this. And he was encouraging us to commit ourselves to whatever good thing our hind finds to do. And we have to maximize the profits thereof. But not to the detriment of godly living. It was also inspiring hearing our Elder Eric Dakun also speak to us on the same topic on last Wednesday. Our beloved brothers were literally telling us to remain in the Lord and maximize all the goodies in Him. But most importantly, we have to give ourselves back to the Lord. And this is somewhat like a loop cycle which originates from Jehovah God, it revolves around Him, and then it ends in Him. So today we want to look at winning the battle against pleasure. And so we want to understand pleasure in the Greek context. Three main terms are associated with pleasure as we see it in English. One is what we call hedone, which connotes pleasure derived from sinful or natural desires. Beloved, in the parable of the sower, Jesus illustrated that some of the seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. There in Luke chapter 8, verse 14, Jesus explains that, and as for what fell among the thorns, they were those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature.
Now, okay, look at asempa eting oche ne ken kan so aye edu nan na sei e na yesu echechim o sei na de egu nkase nu mu de eye won a otie na wonam asetena yimu dadwene ne ahunya ne enigidiem na emia won na won aba no emre nwie.
In 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 13, Peter also attributes this kind of pleasure to false prophets and teachers.
Where he forcefully
warns that such persons love to indulge in evil pleasures in broad daylight. So evil pleasures, hedone, in broad daylight.
Na Petro, sa edifo atrofo e die odobone na ososo bone so empo e wo bedwam.
And so here we see that this kind of pleasure is carnal.
And
it has the propensity to make us feel good in our own eyes. And if you are not careful, you tend to develop your own conscience to defend such kind of desire. Yet it has not built us up spiritually, but rather brings upon us disgrace and shame in the end. And then we have the second term called apolosis, which means to enjoy enjoyment. Listen to what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17.
Now, say, Anna, Paul, I catch you, Timothy.
That as for the rich in this present age, Paul is telling Timothy to charge them not to be overly arrogant, nor set their hopes on the certainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy.
I say, na adefo a wo wiase ne de, bo won kokko se e ma wonye akokokosem. Na emum, e ma won san so emfa won ani ento won ahonya entena hoda no so.
When Moses grew up, he refused to be identified with the pharaohs.
Ebra Moses enyini no, wan pese ye be fere ne se o ye pharaoh asini.
There in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, the writer says it was by faith Moses chose rather to be strict with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin.
Now, can Hebrew for Oma, it's
the So, this is the type of pleasure that Apollosis tries to explain to us.
Now, we any akonra or church.
And so, here too, we see that God's providence. It's for our enjoyment, whether you like it or not. And it is to make us sober in receiving more of those blessings so that we can be sustainable. We, however, must note that those pleasures of sin are ephemeral and they yield no enjoyment at all. And then we have the last type of pleasure, which we call eudokia, which means good pleasure or delight or will, kindly intent of that which satisfies God. So in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul writes,
it
says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And in Ephesians
1,
verse 5, we read that God predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Eudokia here.
Na Ephesians 1, verse 5, na we yen to hose. Onam Yesu Kristo so befa yen abeye ne de se de ya ebeso nyame eni.
When you read the other versions, the NAS and the ESV, they say according to the kind intention of his will.
Na nchechemu foforo eno de aman se ne ebeso nyankopon eni.
Youth, it will interest you to know that Paul tells Timothy that there is good pleasure in seeking to be an elder of the church.
Na Paul ekoso ka chere Timothy say se ye pray se ebe ya hwefo a.
We read that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. So here we see that God takes pleasure in our being. He made it so even before we were born. And has consequently equipped us with all the godly intent and capabilities to live a pleasant life for his glory. Beloved, pleasure is mainly rooted in the feelings, emotions, thoughts, and actions that we derive from God. And not only that, but of the things that we also seek to do. From things already in existence or that which we even have to imagine as if we possess or own it now. be frank with you to say that there is pain in pleasure. Well, it is only children who tend to enjoy what we call the principal pleasure. Those doing psychologists will tell you this. But as they grow, they begin to appreciate the reality principle that there is pain in pleasure. Three main ways people derive pleasures from. Some derive pleasure from their senses.
And so when
we go out to see the seas that God has created, we see the stars, the moons, and the mountains that God has created, it gives us eudokia, it gives us good pleasure. When we listen to favorite songs and music in the Lord, it gives us pleasure. Sensuality and sex through touch gives us pleasure. But that is with caution. The smell of a romantic partner or a flower also gives us pleasure.
As
when we buy flowers for our wives, they become so excited. The taste of a good food also gives us pleasure. And so you should not be surprised to see a young man travel more than 3 miles just to get a good food to eat. We also derive pleasure from each other's company. When you have a newborn baby laughing, you get pleasure from that. And when you are back from work and you get an affirmative smile from your loved one, it gives you pleasure. At
the
workplace, when you engage in intellectual discourse with a colleague or a friend, you are so excited, you get pleasure from that. And when you defend the gospel too, there is pleasure in it. When you have good friends and good relations, you get pleasure. And from mutual respect, there is also pleasure in that. Then we also tend to derive pleasure from acts and situations that we encounter in life. Acts people who have served the Lord faithfully and they are in their old age, they will tell you there's pleasure in loneliness. And those who understand giving and those who understand receiving, you may not understand, but there are others who understand receiving. There is pleasure in it. And those who have wealth, and those who really understand poverty and they have made a vow to the Lord, they also get pleasure from that. When you have a unique skill or when you accomplish something, you take or you earn pleasure from that. When you are learning or you are teaching somebody else to, you make pleasure or you earn pleasure from that. Calmness and self-control, there's pleasure in it. When you have a memory about something or you are in expectation of something, there is pleasure in that. And then when we live in the moment, living in the moment alone can give you pleasure. Ask the young guys, remember the first time you bought your first car?
And
some of them would even not sleep. Late in the night, they will peep through the window to see whether the car is still parked there. Perhaps you just got a new job or you got promoted. You are earning pleasure from this. And as we talk to each other this morning, there are some who have acquired visa and they are traveling tomorrow or next. As we speak, a loved one just sent you, cuckoo. Momo alert, there is pleasure in
that.
Whatever it is that is in this moment or in this present life, some derive pleasure from it. When you are anticipated or when you are relieved of something, there is pleasure also in it. And then something that is eating most of the youth up is gaming and entertainment. We take a lot of pleasure from this.
As
when you speak to a number of you, they understand Mortal Kombat. Many of our mommies and daddies may not know Mortal Kombat, but the youth, we know Mortal Kombat.
Sports.
Sports, largely soccer. Movies, television series, like the famous The Way to Your Heart. Go and Google about it. Adom TV is showing that. The Way to Your Heart. And previously we heard about Kunkun Bagia.
Betting
and gambling.
Na betting, eh, chacha.
Just this week, Tuesday, a colleague at workplace showed me a cash receipt of someone who has won my bet. Literally, my bet is gambling. But some take pleasure in it and they have become so addicted to it. I'm sure they can show the video for us to see. Interestingly, this young man used one Ghana cedi to win 284,923.77 pesos. Huge money, just one
cedi.
I don't know how this system works, but those who stake my bet, they have the app on their phone here. They understand more than me. Interestingly, this kind of pleasure is seen to be civilized. And then it is seen to be looking good and it's also privatized. So you don't get to see about it. Yes, I may agree with the privacy part of it, because when it is on your phone or you are in your one corner, you stake it, nobody sees it. In other jurisdictions, it has been established that some of the suicide cases are as a result of failed bets.
The
devil is also wise, because you stake the bet in your closet and then you die in your closet.
And
so this is a deadly pleasure. The pleasure many you've gained from soccer is also unexplainable. They will go at every length to defend football, unless of course you are not a football fanatic like myself. There is one man called Steve Gans who ran for president of US soccer, and this is what he said about soccer.
I quote him,
he says, like no other sport or perhaps human activity, soccer bridges gaps and brings the world together. And that is true. It is true, soccer has gained a global recognition.
And
so those who are football fanatics can easily talk about the top 5 leagues in the world.
As
they know the English Premier League, the Spanish La Liga, the German League, the Italian Serie A, and the French League. They know all of these. But EPL, which is the English Premier League, is the most watched soccer league in the entire world and has the most prestigious clubs in the world as well. Let me give you one statistic presented by Sky Sports Television in Britain. They said that on average, 4.5 million viewers, and that even shot to 4.8 million in the final 5 minutes during Manchester United's top of the table clash with Liverpool in January this year.
Na TV baku a ewo England, edi adanse se enipa be opepen nan ene achi ponum na da bia wohwe agokansi.
I'm sure Ghana and Africa will lack data, so we may not be able to talk about the number of viewers who also watch that kind of match. But you can imagine the large number of people who watch that kind of match. Compare that to our programs on the television, compare that to our weekly activities. How many people, how many of us join?
Na ye de wei etoto ye na otwe dwumadiem se asafo a enipa dodo sai na edu onho ehim.
There is no doubt soccer is celebrated worldwide and has to a large extent taken a greater part of the life of many of the youth.
Then you know ye jitum se agokanse ye ade a wiase nyina eye ho dede pa.
Is it there's also one thing that Clay Coleman, a former US national team defender, talked about soccer, and it's so startling, and I want you to listen to it.
Now we and our coma our US ni and so kafa abu kansi.
I quote him. He said, soccer is also universal. Bruising, meaning there are quick, beautiful, it is sexy, it is restless, it is perfect and imperfect at the same time. It is competitive, personality, color, exciting, united, together, teamwork, commitment, special, impressive. And what interests me is that he said, as well as over 1,000 more amazing as the chiefs he cannot even talk about.
Na no kan fa won se agokan sie e yaade a efe na homije kura enim e kanipa bom na e danso na o kan nyama bebre efa agokan sie.
And still from Clay, he says, in short, soccer is everything, soccer is life, unquote.
Na oboni nyina atofa na de opa che nyina ne se agokan sie e ye bibia na sanso e ye obra.
And so it is no surprise to see many of the youth lead this kind of life from morning to afternoon, from afternoon to evening, from evening to dawn.
Nti ya na nyanwanwa se ye mabunu bebre e bo sa abre fitin anopa e kosi anajo.
And is it, this is not even done once in a week, but every day.
Na sa abre o mo no dako e ona otwini mu na emum de biara.
You may be marveled at how somebody could even tell you all the match fixtures in the Premier League.
E be yo nwanwa se obabunu bebeti ma sori na waka agukansie ana bolo ebekoso ejuada ekosi kosi ada acho.
And yet me no even know the church weekly activities.
Na enso eba asafo jumedia ekoso mpa.
This is the extent to which soccer has worn the personality, the soul, the spirit, the body of many of us.
Now we and impenpenswa abukensi ewia yen kra yeni peduane yehunhu.
Soccer has enslaved many of us.
Na yaka abukensi ya afayemu bebre nkwa.
So I ask you this question: there is Champions League versus congregational worship or other weekly activity, both starting at the same time. Which one would you choose?
Na se eba se agokansie bi ekoso na se asafo dwumadie ekoso emre ba ko a emudie hen na wo obefa.
Oh, silently in our minds we say, oh, others can go ahead and worship.
Na ye trimu ne de kan ne se oh we bi mu ni kan enuanom mu ni kan nkoso.
To watch a dead match, never.
Na pa se me de mehwe agokansie awabo awie de da bida.
It takes more than 90 minutes to watch one full soccer match.
Na se wo pese ohwe agokansie ba ko a
yes, we have the time to watch series of matches. So 90 minutes times multiple times. How about spending 1 hour in Bible study? 1 hour in prayers. 1 hour in youth meetings. 1 hour in personal evangelism. Or tract distribution done on Tuesdays.
Trata and also
2 hours in congregational prayers and congregational worship.
Now, because the other drone and
this is done once in a week, yet no way.
Sanyo my bossing in a yeno, dacro, now it be
check the youth records. It is appalling.
Yan share Mabuno, Anke Kai was a dumedium.
Beloved, may I inform you that spiritual exercise gives us double fold benefit than physical exercise.
A ampasa, Edumano, am I in Shiram or Homomun?
You cannot compare physical exercise to spiritual exercise. There in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, Paul says that physical training is good, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefit in this life, in the life to come.
Timothy woman edikan eti aye 9 nken kan so ngotwene se na honamu modern mo ho mfaso osua na onyamesom pa wo mfaso obebre.
And so we have seen some of the sources of pleasure that can draw us away from God and those that can draw us towards God. The departure from God may not come instant all the time. Sometimes it comes slowly, little by little, and eventually you are down the drain.
Na se e twenye free nyame ho no, en si prekompe e bank akran kakra, ubehu ana oda fom.
There is one thing one Greek philosopher said. He lived 71 years of his life. He's called Epicurus. Those who are studying philosophy may know about this man. And I quote what he said. He said, it is impossible to live a pleasant life without living wisely and honorably and justly. And it is impossible to live wisely and honorably and justly without living pleasantly.
Whenever
any one of these is lacking, when, for instance, the man is not able to live wisely, though he lives honorably and justly, it is impossible for him to live a pleasant life. This may sound so philosophical, and you may have to take a lot of time to understand. What he's trying to do here is trying to set limits of pleasure for us. He suggests that pleasure is not a bad thing in itself, but the things that yield certain pleasures, many times they bring disturbances and problems to us. In other words, pleasure is good, but not all the methods through which pleasure is attained are good. Therefore, to live wisely, you have to be able to discern the pleasures which are good and those that bring more trouble and disgrace than the pleasure itself.
And
so if you are indignant to others or you hurt others in order to gain pleasure, that pleasure is no good and will have painful consequences for you over time.
If you are
good, fair, just, yet spend time pursuing pleasures which are dishonorable and does not build up others, you would be digging your own grave. So what is all this and what can we do about it? First, I want you to decide what you need and what you want. No doubt, we need Jesus for our salvation. No doubt we need oxygen to breathe. No doubt we need water to quench when we are thirsty. No doubt we need water, food to maintain nutritional balance. We also need clothes to cover our nakedness. And then we need shelter to give us some comfort after hard day's work. So let me tell you this. We will die if we do not have Jesus. In John chapter 6, verse 68, Peter affirms to us that Jesus has the words of eternal life. And so he asks that apart from Jesus, whom shall we go to?
Peter,
ask the doctors and the nurses, they will tell you you will die within 4 minutes without oxygen. We will also die within 4 days without water. And we will die within 4 weeks without food. If you doubt, you may want to try it. You see why? Because these are what we need and not what we want. If you have to move in an emergency, what would you take with you? This is what you need. Every other thing is frivolous. Excessive baggage will weigh you down. And we should not be enticed by many of the things we see on social media, the Twitter, the Facebook, the TikTok, and whatever. It is not everything you have to subscribe to. And there's not every pop-up that you have to open to see. Sometimes it is danger. It may be pleasant to the eye, but remember, it will endanger your heart. Interestingly, when we are physicated to the pleasures of this world, then we are less prepared for the upward call.
Na se yedi yani esi ewiase akonoso dia. Ene na osoro frere no yenye krado se
ebe. Oh, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. That's the angel cried out in Genesis chapter 19, verse 17.
Na o ken kan Moses nwoma yedi kan eti aye edun kon ne ken kan so edu enso na o se dwane je won kra enkwa.
And in verse 26, we read that, but Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became what? A pillar of salt.
And
this is exactly how we will do if we do not allow ourselves to only go in line or in tandem with what we need, but rather worry ourselves about excessive baggage. It will weigh us down. Brothers, youth, we need to make conscious, frantic efforts to contend, to fight, to control sin in our lives. Sin mainly gets to us through our skin, through the eyes, and through the heart. What we know as the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It will bring pleasure to some extent, but remember, this pleasure is no good. It is short-lived and has no goodwill, and ultimately, it does not glorify God at all. We need to be mindful of the part of our body which is frail or weak. And if you are not careful, it will lead us into temptation. And eventually, we will sin. In Job chapter 31, verse 1, Job says, "Oh God, I have made a covenant with my eye that I may not look lustfully after a woman." And these days, some women also lust after men. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27, the wise man asks that, "Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not bend?" I ask. Is it meant when just when we thought that we are strong, Solomon says we are weak and therefore we are to flee? Lustful desires or pleasures, they are not from God. We ourselves yearn for it, we conceive it in thought, and then we process it, and then we practice it. These desires, they graduate slowly, 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 and then eventually it will lead you to
death.
In James chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, James says that he is cautioning us. Let no one say when he is tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire.
Na Yakubu ebo yankoko se se oso obihwe a manon ka se nyankopon na eso mehwe if he say boni bi nso onyankopon hwe na ono nso hwe nso obiara hwe.
And so sin of pleasure originates from us, it revolves around us, and it ends with us, and then we die. It is a battle, it's a war, and as you, we need to fight it in all earnestness. I believe many of us have watched the movie titled War Room. War Room. In a movie, we see the woman called Mrs. Jordan pray fervently, and then she steps outside and says, "Enough is enough. The devil, you have no control over our house. You have no control over my husband, Jordan, and that today we have no share in our family."
Na yehu ora irebi a friend Jordan say, "Obom paye eni eden so na ne okan nyina ne say."
She was mentored by one old lady called Miss Clara. When you watch the movie in the concluding scene, Miss Clara was prayerfully beseeching God, "Oh God, help all people to come to know you."
Na sinina wi ya ne hu se sa abawa Clara ono so e bompa ya denden se urade mani pa nyina ehu no ntwas.
And that is a call for evangelism, beloved.
Na we e your friend I was saying na yesum e ma asem patre.
There is pleasure in evangelism.
Na enigye e wa asem patre.
We have to live our lives in step of the gospel and make every effort to see others come to Jesus.
I was saying, boy, and brass, and a bear, a betching of a front, so about you soon.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, Paul admonishes that we should give no offense to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God, just as I try to please everyone in everything I do, not seeking my own advantage, but that of many, that they may be saved.
Now, Corinthians 4, Mama Edikan, Eti Edu, Nikan Kanswo, Edua Sammy, you know, near Edua Sammy and Sanase. Munye Adia, Eto Yuda 4, Anahela 4. Ana nyankopon asafo sintidua said the men so menhwehwe ne eso nipa nyina ani na menhwehwe de eyema menkoa nemu ne eyema dodo no na eje wonkwa.
As youth, we have to be encouraged that the Lord has blessed us with faithful brethren in the church.
Say mabunu na wose ehye enkwan say nyame adom ye empanyifo bia wono so ekuta gidi no.
It is for our learning, it is for our practice. We need to seek their guidance while we also develop our own faith in God. Philippians
4:19,
Paul says that whatever you have seen in me, whatever you have heard in me, whatever you have seen me practice, I encourage you also to do
same. Second Timothy 2:11-13.
Paul says, "For if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." Beloved and my brothers and sisters, youth, may I read to you the Bible quotation for the theme of the youth month? And please think about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9 and 10.
And you know, my brother, I'm going to say, I'm going to say,
this is what the wise man says. Young people, it is wonderful to be young. Every minute, enjoy it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. But remember that you must give an account to God for everything you do. So refuse to worry and give your body healthy. But remember that youth with a whole life before you is meaningless.
I say, Abrantie, ma waninye omofrasi. Ninya akumapa omranti brim. Nefa wakuma akwanso. Nsu hunu se. Ye num nina ntina unyanko pondo ubeko atemu. Ne yi arehuo fri wakumem. Nema adebone empare wuhunam. Na omofrasi ene emranti brim nina ye ehuhudie.
And so we are thankful to God for such opportunity to get to understand pleasure and what we can do and how we can seek the good pleasure in him. If you are worshiping with us for the first time, we encourage you to come to Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 10, John says, Jesus comes not to steal, not to kill, not to destroy, but to come to give us life that we may have it in abundance. That life Jesus is talking about is not the bios, those who have done biology. It's not the life in fishes, the life in other animals. Neither it is the suture, the life in feelings, the psychology. But he says, Zoe, my own life that I give to you.
Nasa and Kwan, Yesu Eka wasim, Enya and Kwan, a war and womb, Nemum and Kwan, or Noah at the Emma.
May we be encouraged. Amen.
We ain't singing in crying. Amen.